Blog Talk Radio.
You're about to witness a seismic event. Now, let the party begin. Start the countdown. 3, 2, 1. You're live. Got this down. Get 'em.
Welcome to Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio, where the topics are up for debate every night of the week. And then on Saturdays, make sure to join us or call in at 347-637-3286. We're on Blog Talk Radio. Just search Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We make it easy to talk sports. Welcome to Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. We're live this evening with the crew, the NYSO crew also. We will have Kalen Davis, Clemson's offensive lineman. He will talk about his path to the draft, and we will get the greatest of all time, Andre White, in here to talk about Andres Pete, his nephew, which is slated, he's slated to go in the top 10 on some mock drafts as an offensive lineman out of Stanford. So a lot going on today, and we want to bring it all to you. Top headlines in the sports world, the Browns have offered two number ones for Marcus Mariota. Also, the Oklahoma Thunder search is focused on Florida Gators Billy Donovan only. So hopefully Billy Donovan decides that he doesn't want to go into the NBA. Lyle Collins, who is out of LSU and slated to be high in the draft, at least in the first round, say he will no longer attend the draft. He is wanted for questioning only in the death of his ex-girlfriend. So that is going on. NBA has fined Doc Rivers $25,000 for his criticism of the referees from last night's game. Also, it emptied Camden Yards, and the Orioles beat the Chicago White Sox today. We know what's going on in Baltimore and, of course, with Camden Yards. Joe Thomas says Manziel is like night and day from 2014, and that, I think, is a good thing. Manny Pacquiao says, I know I'm going to win. Well, that fight is definitely getting close. It will be May 2nd, which is this Saturday. So a lot, again, going on in the world of sports. Want to get Coach Emerson Martin in here. Coach Martin, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, Francis. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. Great to have you. Had a great show last night, and I want to start with something that was really big. We had Brett Cooper football last night, and we were talking to Rob Washington. His son is Rob Washington Jr., four-star running back out of Charlotte, if I'm not mistaken. And he did a video for Bleacher Report last week and said he was committed to the University of Florida. And then they didn't release it until Friday, about 30 minutes before he had his whole thing at his high school. Well, they released it at 11 o'clock, and 11:30 he committed to Syracuse. So obviously, between recording that video and then doing it live, he changed his mind. But he talked about how 24/7 really attacked his son and talked about, don't be alarmed, Gator fans. He isn't all of that anyway. And his question was, why do grown men have to put that out about young athletes? So I'm bringing it to you. What do you think about all of this? And the dad was really upset last night. He said, this is a business. I know it's a business, but of course it's personal with my son. Your thoughts on all of this?
Well, my thoughts on that is Bleacher Report feel like whoever the company was felt like he was giving them the confidential information.
Yeah.
and they were going to be first to leak the story. And then for them to put the story out there a few minutes before he went on, and then he says that he's going to a different school, it almost, they have the feeling of, like they've been set up. The issue is with me is they shouldn't be trying to capitalize on these young men. You know, by coming to them and asking them a question, you can say, via our conversation, he mentioned he wanted to commit to Florida. But this is the thing. He may have wanted to commit to Florida, but maybe Florida didn't offer him. Maybe Syracuse came up and they came to the table and they gave him some guarantees. And his father, being an ex-athlete, is of course going to tell his son to go with the guarantees. You know, he understands the plight of what it is to be an athlete. These writers and stuff like that, a lot of them have never been athletes. They're just trying to get the best stories. They don't know all the different dynamics that goes into making that decision of what's going to happen and what's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I do. I agree with you right there. It's just, you know, it kind of touched home last night. This young man had offers from Alabama, Florida, Michigan, and a few others. His father said that he wants to major in communications, and of course Syracuse is known for that. Just ask Mike Tirico and so many more in or within ESPN. But I found it, I guess it hit home because he had raw emotions last night, and he even called out the reporter. So I just kind of wanted to touch on it with you, and then I'm going to get Gwen Stout in here too to kind of talk about this. Mr. Stout, how you doing tonight?
Gwen, you there?
Do I have
one? I'm doing great. I'm sorry. I listened to the recording from last week and all that heavy breathing because you have my adrenaline pumped. I put you on mute, so I'm sorry. I'm glad to be back on the show.
You were just breathing hard because we played Earth, Wind, and Fire, so you had been dancing. So.
You're right. I was trying to bust the move.
Yeah, you made him reminisce. He said he was busting the move, but you made him reminisce. You took him back to a time.
I took him back.
You took me right back into that arena, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm doing great.
You know what?
Great
I went back and.
So great to have all the positive feedback. We did feedback
you
on
know what?
Social media, so it's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what? I want to ask you, Mr. Stout. You're clear now. You were kind of breaking up a little bit, but you're clear now. I wanted to ask you about these athletes, these young men, and how sometimes 24/7 and rivals and scout can say, you know what, no big deal. He's not that talented anyway, and he really has second-rate talent. He's probably ACC. Or is it necessary to go that in-depth and really talk about a young man's talent when they didn't commit from one school to the next?
Well, I guess first and foremost, it's big business, so that they put it in a whole different category. They could really care less about the student athlete, and I say student first, and then athlete, because I know we're going to touch on that tonight.
Yes, sir.
Emerson's right. Majority of them never played the game, and they're great armchair. They look at the game strictly on a subjective point of view, and that's important, not objective. If they're looking at it objectively, they're looking at stats are given. And, you know, they may get 20 plays. They may look at – those guys don't have long enough to look at a full game tape or really look into the depth of what the student-athlete is about. So they're basing a lot of their opinions – off of what they see, what they read, what they hear, and then if they physically look at them and they're looking at stats and basing it off stats, well, let me tell you something about stats. There's a human being that's making those stats, and it's really easy at the high school level to juice up stats, and it happens all the time. I see it, and I was a head coach and started a football program, and we saw all those things happen to position these student athletes. And then you have that that bloodline that runs thick, you know, about the, you know, where they went to school, and you got a lot of football fanatics. I mean, there's some people that are in, you know, places that's what they live for. So they live, eat, and drink it, and so they take it very personally. You know, it was funny when I got asked the question, well, what's going to happen to Tennessee when Fulmer leaves? I said, well, I can tell you one thing. Neyland Stadium is not going to fall off into the Tennessee River.
Nope.
So somebody else will take his place. It took them a while. So it's true for anything or replacing. And, you know, they're disposable for these guys. You know, they're just as disposable that as anything else. So they don't have any skin in the game, because the shameful part of it is that once their season's over, once that recruiting period's over, you may hear about them if they're the top 1%. But do you ever really hear about them again? What does that say about the story that they wrote? How important was it that you never heard of them again? It's just happened to be the topic of the flavor of the day, and you know, this social media, once again, like we talked about last week, it's just so instantaneous, and they're looking for hits. They're looking to score points, and they're watching their graphs. It's simple as that. It's big business.
It's big business. I was talking to someone today about the hits that you get off of these sites like Rivals and Scout in 24/7, and 24/7 doesn't have a Syracuse site like Rivals and Scout. So they said that you know, basically Syracuse isn't considered a football school anyway, and I think that's just really just taking it over the top, if you ask me. Let's get Coach Neek in there. We'll get into academics and the importance of it, playing the recruiting game with Glenn Stapp and the NYFO staff tonight. Coach Neek, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, Princess. How's everything going on your end?
It's going really good. Thank you, and I appreciate you having Kalen, the offensive lineman from Clemson. He'll be on in about 45 minutes, so I appreciate you bringing that to Never Had It So Good, okay?
Oh, no problem, President. No problem. And we look for more than that.
Awesome. I wanted to ask you before we move on, too, about this whole recruiting thing and how the competition between Scout and Rivals and 24/7 to get the scoop. The article on these 4 stars and 5 stars, and to say, hey, you come to my camp and I'll give you another star. Young man committed to Florida with Bleacher on Wednesday in a tape thing, and they actually played it 30 minutes trying to put the scoop out there before he actually announced at his high school. Well, he changed his mind, and they didn't call Bleacher to say, hey, don't run that. But he changed his mind and decided on Syracuse. But I just wanted you to speak to just briefly a minute here about the nastiness of this business and the social media impact of this business.
The way I see it is when people do that, they were hurting themselves by talking bad on the athletes, the student athletes, because if they keep talking bad about one, what do you think the next person going to think you're going to say about them? And, you know, they're just, I think they're killing themselves off. It's not a good look.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're going to get a bad look, and they're going to be alone.
Yeah. Coach Neek, do me a favor. Your reception is really bad. If you could hang up and call back in, maybe change places in the building that you're in. Your reception is not really good, and I want to make sure we hear all of you all. This is one of my favorite shows here, and I love this group, and I want to make sure and get everybody clear. So do that for me, and we'll go back to Coach Emerson and Mr. Stout here, and let's talk about playing this recruiting game. And I really love the show. Mr. Stout, I went back and listened again, and it's been a great download show. A lot of people out of South Florida have downloaded it on iTunes and out of Charlotte and Raleigh and Concord. So thank you to you and Coach Martin for bringing this brilliance to Never Had It So Good. But this recruiting game is not easy. So let's start with academics. And Coach Martin, I'll start with you and then Mr. Stout about the importance of academics in this recruiting game. Coach Martin, do I have you? I think he probably has his on mute too. Mr. Stout, are you there?
Oh, sure. I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. I think Coach may have his on mute. I know he was still around the field. So let's go ahead and dive into
it. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. I just wanted to say, and I forgot I had it on mute because I was talking right away. I just wanted to say before I started addressing academics, it's real important that these kids, when they get in front of a camera, the importance of interviewing, and that's one of the keys to playing a recruiting game. They learn how to do these interviews. They learn that once they put stuff out there, they need to be sure. If they're not sure, then say they're undecided. This kid, with what he did with when he went to Rivals or whoever, or 24/7, whoever it was, they should have played it once he said it. They held on to it, so I don't even know if his family knew that they were going to play it or not. So they didn't think they had to call him because they hadn't played it up until that point. So, you know, but my thing is, that's what I like about what you do. I like the fact that you allow kids to come on your show and they can talk about their choices. They can talk about where they want to go without feeling the pressure coming on with their parents at the time when they're ready to do it. So I think that's just another platform, another way. So I wanted to say kudos to the Never Had It So Good, because they can come here and do it. But when you start talking about academics, you know, the best example that I would use, I'm going to say this and I'm going to have to give the floor to Glenn, is what happened with the five-star, the number one player in the country this year that had to go to JUCO instead of going to Auburn. Now, he was the number one player. How could he be a five-star kid and not be able to go to college at a four-year institution? He has to go through a JUCO. So, you know, there's something wrong with that. He was on everybody. He was on ESPN as the number one. He was on everybody's number one. But somebody didn't do the research. Somebody didn't do everything. And it came as a surprise to everybody when this kid did, because you remember we were talking about when he first committed to Florida, he didn't sign that letter of intent. Well, he couldn't sign it because he wasn't academically eligible. So that's the thing. That's what we found out. So then he committed to Auburn, only to have to be a double commit, which means he signed at a junior college, and after that, he's then going to Auburn. So, you know, this is the state that we're in. But academics play a big, important part. It is a student-athlete. Student comes before athlete, and our kids need to know that.
Yes, student comes before athletes. And my mom was my teacher and my principal at one point. And she always said to me, if you get a D, you just showing up. You don't care. If you get a C, you just want to be average. If you get a B, you just saying, okay, I don't want to be excellent. But if you don't bring home A's, then you're not going to get anything else in my house. And that always worked for me. It was powerful. And I told my nieces and nephews and my children the same thing. You bring home a D, you just showing me you don't care, and you just want to show up. And it's really disrespectful to the entire family. A C means average. So I'll let you take it, Mr. Stout, from here. Your thoughts on academics, student athletes, and how important this is.
Well, that is fascinating. The statement you just made, I think your mom and Patrick Lowe, one of our founders and director of education at Keeping Dreams Alive Foundation, was a principal, or is still a principal, I believe, in Broward County.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the fundamental things that Patrick put together, because he is our director of education, along with Silk Cozart and director of education and entertainment, it's interesting to hear how you put those where you put them, because what Patrick had put together over the years is basically what you said, but how to be a good and great student, how to be an average student. And then the third one, that D that you said, or F, we call the Joe Blow, the student that doesn't participate in anything education-wise and thinks it's okay to get an F and brags about it, you know, the one that does all that. We focus our attention on being a good and great student from first and foremost to be able to enhance that awareness of their critical thinking skills, and that's very important, critical thinking skills, their character education, and then their career paths along the way. So why do we think it's so important? Well, number one, we tell these student athletes, just like these young men would never have gotten caught in what they've got caught in if they'd come through one of our programs, because first and foremost, we would explain to them that, you know, your resume right now, your credit report is your GPA.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have anything else. You know, mom and dad have been out in the world, and you build up that build up that credit report. So we take it, and we're able to compare it to what they see, the perception of what they see, and the reality of what it really is, and they're able to understand what a credit report. And we say, well, there's your GPA. So if your GPA is your credit report, then your grades are your paycheck. Your test scores are your paycheck. So how much money are you bringing home each week? How much are you helping out the family? How much are you helping out? And what are you putting away to be able to have it later on? And we call it cashing in for the college and that college degree. So academics is so important. And the young man that Emerson was talking about, it's interesting. I just received an article today because it's interesting. A lot of people who listen to this, a lot of them download it, and they're sending me articles. It's really interesting about another South Florida young man that had all the offers in the world and ended up at a JUCO. But here's the news flash. You know, he had an offer to go to Middle Tennessee and sit out a year, and he really didn't understand that. But then a JUCO coach called him and said, hey, you can start right away. Then you can go right in here, and you – don't have to go through all the NCAA certification. But what he didn't tell the young man was that when he got 2,000 miles away from home, he didn't tell him that, you know, there's only 12 out-of-state players can make the roster, and there's 100 of you that I invited. And the 100 that I invited are all five-star. Some JUCOs could play against most teams that are not in the top 10, but most JUCO teams – could compete with most Division II, Division III, and NAIA schools and probably put a whooping on them. But they only allow 12 of those students. So what was his explanation? His explanation was I just got it too late, and it was too late for me to catch up with my academics. That's the same story we hear all the time. That's one of the reasons we got proactive and put together this entire playing a recruiting game platform, because we need to let them understand that their grades are money. That's their paycheck. Now, how do we get them to get a big, fat paycheck? Well, we got to teach them those critical thinking skills. We got to teach them to learn how to analyze all of their high school education expectations. We need to teach them their development strategies and how to identify and fulfill all their academic goals in high school. And I'm hitting key words now, goals, strategies, you know, critical thinking, how to set specific goals towards becoming college bound. Hey, how about that? You know, you got to get off iTunes, you got to get off Twitter, and you got to think about, you know, quit looking at your picture, look at your stats, because one day nobody's going to care about them, or somebody's going to downgrade you about them, because when you get to the next level, everybody's going to have good stats. But the ones that have good grades are the ones that are going to shine and the ones that are going to finish. So we look at that in playing a recruiting game is knowing what to expect. You've got to know what to expect. And then we turn it around and we teach them how to become a good and great student. We act our academic coaching strategies. So we talk about student development strategies to, you know, ensure them academic success by demonstrating effective critical thinking skills for obtaining a good GPA and getting involved in multiple school-related activities, you know, handling mistakes. Yeah. How do I handle mistakes? You know, it's just a learning process. And then monitoring and evaluating all their academic processes. So we take it very – go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but you brought up a very good point, and that is monitoring. And I think we have to go back to the parents. Get in their backpacks. Understand what courses they have. If you don't see them doing homework at some point every night, something is wrong if they're in high school. If you don't see them bringing home books in their backpack or going to school with nothing, something is wrong. And My mom didn't mind going in my backpack. She didn't mind standing over me while I was doing my homework. But that monitoring and sense of expectations has to start at home. The students nor the teachers can do it by themselves. And it is that expectation that makes it important. So I knew if I brought home a B, my mother would look at me like I was crazy. She was okay with my brother bringing home A's and B's and an occasional C, but she didn't expect that from me. And I want to go to you, Mr. Stout, and then Coach Martin, and then I'll get Coach Neek in here again. Let's talk about starting at home and not just with playing the recruiting game to get everybody, this village, to get everybody focused on academics.
Well, that's a great, you know, you and I and several other on the show may have had the great opportunity of having a great, strong mother. I mean, I did. You did.
Yeah.
You know, that was interesting how she, you know, she looked at you differently than her son. And, you know, I learned something a long time ago when I got into this. I got into it for selfish reasons. Like I told you before, I'm adopted and single mom. So, I look at the world in South Florida, and we've been in the urban community so long that I know that the majority of the kids that we deal with don't have that kind of opportunity that I had. They don't have that solid rock at home that you and I had. They may be raised by a grandparent, they may be raised by a guardian. So I thought to myself, you know, what's the solution to this? And some of them do have mom and dad at home, but they just don't have that. The communication isn't there. They don't have those life skills and certainly not the critical skills. I mean, you can see it's rampant across the nation now what's happening. So what was the solution instead of complaining about it and pointing at it? We came up with a solution of having study hall to have those same expectations. Okay, if you're not getting it at home, and then what we would do at study hall was we'd invite the parents so they could understand and learn those critical skills as well. They may not know, may not be equipped. Some of those parents were kids when they had kids. Some of them never even learned how to have an adult experience because they were busy having babies and they were trying to raise them, and now they're trying to figure out how to just keep a roof over their head. So we created this study hall with this critical thinking, and we took all of those things that your mom and my mom did, and we used all the tricks of the trade in there to make it interesting and throw a little bit of, you know, everyday business in on a different day and invited the parents in. I'd even invite the teachers in, too, because they had to change up the way they think and get them to understand how important academics is, but more importantly, to start thinking about how the system works. Understand how the system works. Understand why academics is so important. Understand why it's your meal ticket. Even if you look, the majority of them, 50-60%, won't graduate. But if they take enough of what they need and they understand, and I'm not advocating not graduating, but I'm just saying that they got to learn enough to have the skills to go out and compete in this world market. So we started with the tutoring and the after school and the study hall, then we integrated the softwares. And then again, you know, Princess, they don't have, a lot of them didn't have laptops. So we had to think about where can they get access to these kind of devices. Well, it's a library probably where it's quiet enough where they can study. So we would have to figure out transportation. So there's a lot more issues than we say they need to get it at home. You know, some of them stay at school because it's safer than being at home. You know, some of them stay at school because it's not safe to get home.
Yeah.
Some of them, and I'm talking areas of town that we've been in since 1988 and 89 that they need to know where they're safe and in a safe environment where they can learn. Because if they're not in a safe environment, then what the heck is learning? They're surviving, man. What the heck learning? What do I need to learn? I'm trying to survive. You know, what do you know? You know, my mom, my grandmother, they were strong, man. I mean, I just like yours, Princess, my mom kept me up till 6 a.m. until I learned those multiple tables.
Yeah.
And thank God she did, because if she hadn't have done that, then, you know, it would have been a far cry for me today, not just being able to logically be able to think that way. So I guess
I get what you're saying.
What we do is a group collectively, we take the tools and we got to meet them where they are. And when we meet them where they are, we give them, number one, love, compassion, so they can trust, and then we can open up that world and say, here's the tools. We got the tools for you now. We have every tool you need. There's really no excuse anymore for them with playing or recruiting it. Yeah. There's no excuse. I got, you know, people say, well, we need to do this, we need to do that. Well, I put my money where my mouth is. We built it, we developed it, we tried it, we experimented with it, and it's there. It's there now. You know, regardless of what service you are or who you're teaching your student athletes to, there is a curriculum now that will teach them how to play this game, and in this case, playing a recruiting game.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Coach Martin, I'm going to get you in here, and then I'll take a break and come back, but I want you to expound on that. And I like what he said, meet them where they are, but he said a lot of great stuff in that. Go ahead, Coach Martin.
Well, one of the things is, Princess, to a friend today, and we were just talking about, we looked on Facebook and we saw this example of someone who was close to my age. You know, I'm 40. I'll be 45 in a couple of days. So the thing was, they showed an analogy. There was a parent, a student, and a teacher. They were having a conference. And the parent looked at the grades in our era. And the parent looked at the student, and the student explained it. Tell me what's going on and what's the problem with your grade. Then they showed another example of a parent in today's era with a student and a teacher. And the parent looked at the teacher and said, explain this to me. Why my kid is failing. You understand that times have changed. So times have changed now. My kids don't bring home textbooks anymore. The school doesn't supply them with textbooks. So they send them to the internet. You know, the problem is, when I was in school, if I got home and my mom didn't know how to do something, she could at least open the textbook and read it and help me to figure out the answer. These kids go home with their work, and they don't have any examples except for the examples they did in class. And if you don't understand it, how can you help your kid to know? Because there's no book. There's nothing for you to read. There's nothing that you can give. So you figure our country, for one, has gotten it wrong. We're taking textbooks and things away from our kids, and I don't understand it, because the lottery is bigger in the United States than it's ever been, and most of the money goes to education. And the sad part is, the more lottery tickets they sell and the bigger that budget gets, the more money they take out of the school. So instead of the government getting that money that they've always dedicated to the school, and then the lottery would be icing on top, the bigger the lottery gets, the more money they take out of that budget and put it somewhere else. So that tells me that the school is in our focus on our kids and their future. If we don't take an active role playing the recruiting game or having these tools out there, then parents really are unaware of what's going on at school with their kids. When you find out, it's when the report card comes on.
Yeah, I agree with you. We got to take a small break. Let's take a small break. Because there's so much, and you can tell I'm passionate about this one. And I got a small story. I used to be mad at my mom after school every day because two and three people would be in the car with us. And we had to take them home because my mother was taking them home to tell their parents how they acted in school and that they weren't doing that, you know, or they weren't doing this. She did that. I used to be so upset with her. You know, we can't go home alone. But now I understood she was that passionate about teaching. And I wish we still had some of that right now. We're going to pick this up when we come back. And I also want to talk about the choice from being seen as cool and being seen as a nerd. And why do we have to choose? Why can't we just be balanced? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Never had it so good.
Take your football game to the next level with the National Youth Football League. The National Youth Football League is powered by former NFL players and great coaches across the United States. They provide student-athletes with opportunities to play football year-round. Spring leagues in the Greater Triangle area are now forming for ages 5 to 18. To pre-register, log on to NationalYouthFootballLeague.com. That's NationalYouthFootballLeague.com.
Y'all back with Never Had It So Good, Sports Talk Radio. We're going to take tomorrow off as far as radio show is concerned, and I will be watching the NFL draft and tweeting for Never Had It So Good Radio and also blogging for sportsblog.com. And on Saturday, I will be blogging for sportsblog.com for Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. I want to get Coach Martin back in here because I kind of interrupted. I want you to finish that. And I also want to get Coach Neat back in here. But continue on, Coach Martin.
Well, what I was saying is that we have different challenges as parents today that our parents didn't have when it comes to helping our kids. And the fact that they take so much money out of the budget with the lottery being big, that they put that money in other places. So we're not, as a country, investing in our kids and in their future and giving them equal opportunity. And that's why you see a lot of kids going to private schools and things of that nature. But everybody can't afford that. And I definitely think you hit it. I think Glenn said some great things, that we got a lot of young people having kids before they even become adults, so they don't know how to teach those kids. You got kids that, because of it, haven't finished school. Or they've done just the mere requirements of getting a GED just to say that they have a diploma. But, I mean, a kid graduating with a diploma with a 1.0 GPA, you know, that's not much. That's, we haven't set an expectation for our kids to be successful. And one of the things Glenn didn't talk about is when you do everything right academically, when you do everything right on the field, when you line yourself up, all of those things, when we talk about playing a recruiting game, when we talk about stealth rating and how we rate these kids, it equates to dollars on a collegiate level.
Yeah.
Schools get money when they bring in top students. Mm-hmm. They get all kinds of money. So when you're a great athlete and you have a high GPA, that equates to dollars because you bring value to that school. So then that's the whole thing with us saying playing the recruiting game. You set yourself in a position where those schools come after you, where you don't have to chase them.
You're right. You're right. We're almost out of time because we're going to get Kaylin Davis in here in about 6 or 7 minutes. But, Mr. Stout, I want to ask two things. The question about being cool versus being a nerd. But I want to ask this first. How does playing the recruiting game help when parents come to you and say, hey, we waited too late and we're in trouble here with this academic thing? I don't think we're going to be on the borderline. We may not clear the clearinghouse for the NCAA. How does playing the recruiting game help at that point?
Well, it helps in a few ways. It gives them some strategies to use to get them back on track, because you get one shot at it, but at the end is really not, if you really want to go to school and get a great education, use a sport you love, there are alternatives to doing that. And what, if we get them early enough, look, I've had a young man that was 4 credits short in a foreign language, and during football season. He got a 22 ACT. He finished foreign languages at night, and he got a 3.0 on his grade point average, and he was a big-time athlete, and he was red flagged, and now he's back in. He's back out. He didn't know what was going on, but the bottom line is that he took those in Florida. We got the Florida virtual. We were able to get tutoring for him immediately, tutoring now specifically for the courses he needed and to teach him how to take a test, to teach him how to learn what he needed to learn to improve on those tests and to teach them so he learned, not memorize. And I go back, I love it. The cool part and the nerd part, Pat Lowell mm-hmm. called himself a cool nerd. You know, he's both. And that's what they called him. He played for Spurrier and the Gators, and he was known as the cool nerd. You know, he looked around,
yeah.
But he did some things that were strategically right. And then what one final note that I want to add is that how do you make it attractive to that student-athlete for them mm-hmm. to understand early on that academics is important? Academics is boring, but academics gets mm-hmm. real exciting if they understand and they can connect it to a dollar value and understand that, hey, in the Midwest, a 2.8 is going to be worth $16,000 to $18,000 with an 860 and an 18. Really? Well,
wow.
Yeah, but you've got to know those numbers. Because they're real numbers. They're not hypothetical. Because I've had kids say, "Well, coach, that's hypothetical." I know it's not hypothetical. Those are real numbers that we know because we've used, and we have student athletes that have gone out. I've seen the contracts. I've physically seen them, and you know, mm-hmm. mark my words. This stuff will, you know, we'll hear this again from other services, and thank goodness, because we need mm-hmm. to collectively get together as a team and say, "Hey." We don't need to compete against each other. If we want to do good by these kids, we don't have to be worrying about each other. Let's worry about the kids and team up and use stuff we have, our strengths, and teach them and arm them with the academic ability. So you make it cool, and you want them to be mm-hmm. a cool nerd, then you got to throw a couple apples out there to let them understand that those are dollar bills because they understand what dollar bills are. And when we equate that to them early enough and they're able to get into those classes or their summertime classes, or if they get a C, mm-hmm. they need to take the class over. They need to get involved in finding out where that happens. It's not going to fall in their lap. And then the second thing, very mm-hmm. important, they have to have a relationship with their guidance counselor. They have to have a mm-hmm. great relationship with them, because if they're bumping around, if their transcripts look funny, if there's stuff written all over them, if they transfer schools, they're not going anywhere. It's got to be clean. It's got to be crystal clean.
Yeah.
And that guidance counselor is the key to that transcript for them being what it needs to be. And she or he is the one that can give them those people that are around locally that can help them. And they can always go to planningrecruitinggame.com, you know, and contact us. We'll be love to help them. So the cool yeah. nerd is what I would love to see happen. Not the cool and the nerd, just the cool nerd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let me say this too, Francis, just to kind of piggyback on what he's saying. I think what you're saying too, when that kid is in that last semester and they haven't done everything they're supposed to do, well, there's mm-hmm. a couple things that we do. One, we have community care, and we have KDA, which is Keeping Dream Alive. By going in some of these different entities, we're able to afford tutoring for some of those kids, trying to direct them to possibly get into a technical school, get their 24 hours. We'll be doing showcases where we can have unsigned senior showcases where we got kids that are 1 or 2 years removed that have gone through these programs or gone to these small community colleges and gotten 24-hour credit, where we can possibly get them into JUCOs and Division II, Division III schools, NAIA schools, and they'll have the opportunity to still get a scholarship by getting themselves back together and doing those things. And then also by looking at what we do with Players to Pros, being an advocate for them in these other arenas. So that's why when you pair everything together and put two and two together, you come out with a stronger support system and people that can help you. So we just don't want those 5-star, 4-star athletes. We don't want to give up on our kids, period, in general. So we are advocates for them. They can come and we can direct them in the right way, because, you know, it's that 6 inches between your sternum and your backbone. Mm. It depends on where your heart is. And if your heart is there and you mean well and you go out and you open up your mouth and you communicate with people, you can find help. If you go back up in the corner and hide, then nobody can help you. There's no shame. You won't be the first one to fail, and you won't be the last. But a failure is nothing but a setup for succession. So if you fail and you keep trying, you're going to succeed. So you failure is something that we have to do. That's the first attempt in learning. So if you look at fail and you say first attempt in learning, then it starts your learning process. So we want kids to understand that. Don't give up on your dream. That's why it's keeping dreams alive. That's why it's community care. Because keeping dream alive is about your dream and being able to do your passion. Community care is about caring enough about those kids that nobody else care about, that we put funds and stuff and we have a 501c3. Both of those are charitable contributions that people and companies can give, and they understand what we're doing with these kids. They can get a report. Mm-hmm. They can access where the dollars are going. We don't mind sharing that with them because we want people to know what we're doing, how we're affecting their communities, and the changes that we're trying to make. So I think that's the bigger picture of what you were asking, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And no competition. Let's help them all. And if your company's doing this and this company, the bottom line is to help these young men and women get to the next level and the next level and the next level. And it starts with academics and being a student athlete. Mr. Glenn Stout, thank you for being on. We got to continue this next Wednesday, okay?
Sounds great. I'm excited, and I'm looking at these messages coming in. They were asking me, when is it, 7 o'clock or 7:30? I said 7:30, I'm telling them.
Yeah, 7:30. You know, I try to give Coach Martin enough time. So, and thank you for correcting me today because I forgot. But 7:30 Wednesdays, you're coming right on. And next week we'll have a whole hour with just you and playing the recruiting game and my players for pros and NYFO staff. Let's get more into this because we left a lot on the table, and we'll come back next Wednesday at 7:30.
I look forward to talking to you, Princess. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for all the listeners that are listening in.
Awesome. All right, that's Glenn Stout right there from Playing the Recruiting Game, and we're going to go ahead now and get Coach Neek in here, and also we're going to get Kaylin Davis in here, and let's talk to him about his path, his journey. Kaylin, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, well, welcome, and congratulations for making great decisions. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing really good. This is Princess with Never Had It So Good. Coach Neek, go ahead and tell me about Mr. Davis here and your thoughts about him as a young man and then an athlete, and then we'll get Coach Martin back in here.
Well, talking about Kaylin Davis, we're talking about a guy that didn't start playing football until he really got into high school and took the loving to it. And we're talking about a kid that's 6'5", 350 pounds, and his best sport was soccer. He was the goalie for the soccer team. He played the field for the soccer team, so he had great feet. Great footwork is what took notice by the college coaches. And from his ninth grade year on, this guy, he was with his team. They played for two state championships, won a region his senior year also. And each year, this guy improved his stock, and he went from being just a big soccer player to an outstanding student athlete football player on the field that became recruited nationwide. The kid always had exceptional grades. He went on, and his major in Clemson is, if I'm not mistaken, Kaylin, is Japanese studies?
Yes, sir.
This kid speaks Japanese. He's been over to Japan to do a semester of work and everything. So we're talking about a genius that we have on the phone. And the way Coach Robbie Caldwell at Clemson describes him, he's a field. He knows his thing. He knows how to break down a defense and help his team get to the end zone. Great kid, super person. I mean, there's not enough great things that can describe this kid. He's a big, gentle giant. And Kaylin Davis said, the beer game.
Wow. Kaylin, what do you think about all of that that's being said about you right now?
I mean, I'm just happy to know that people can talk to me about me in that context this way, and I know that he's known me for a very long time, so he's been with me through the whole journey I've been on, and I know he understands the person I am. So, you know, I'm just really appreciative, just like I know my parents will be very appreciative that people will be able to talk about their son like that. So, you know, I take it, whatever is given, and I roll with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to talk about your parents just a little bit, but I want to get Coach Martin in here. But I want to ask you one thing, because I don't think you knew I was cheering for you, but I was cheering for you all to beat South Carolina in those Gamecocks this year. Congratulations. I want to know how that felt.
I mean, that's been a long time coming, you know. I remember when I came in my redshirt year, and me and another redshirt, my friend David Beasley, we were after the game. We started off really hot, and then we just kind of tapered off at the end. We ended up losing. And for that was the first time, mm-hmm. really, where we saw kind of the robbery. Like, I knew there was a robbery, but you don't really know until you've been a part of it. And I remember we were like, this can't happen. We can't have that, like, while we're playing. And mm-hmm. finally get it done in my senior year, you know, our last chance, the last game of, like, the game we're going to be in Death Valley, last game. I mean, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much everything we hoped for. I remember me and him taking the state championship trophy back, and we carried it off the field all the way to the locker room. We couldn't let go of it.
Awesome. Congratulations right. again on that big in-state win. Coach Martin, I'm going to let you have this. Your thoughts about this young man, Japanese studies, excellent in academics, communicates well, and path to the draft is tomorrow. Starts, and we're going to talk about his draft stop. But go ahead. Former NFL, Emerson Martin, Steelers, Panthers, and the Chiefs. Talk to this young man and what he's about to embark on.
Well, first of all, congratulations. It's a testament to your dedication and your hard work for you to be in this position. It's amazing that when we start playing football, we don't think about draft day and how fortunate we are, because it's not it's not a whole lot of people that get this opportunity. Maybe one or two off of each team that graduate that senior year, even though you've had guys that you play with that may have started for 4 years, they're not even being considered. But in your eyes, he's a good player. So I want to say I commend you for that. My first question to you would be, considering that the two hardest positions to learn in the NFL is the offensive line and the quarterback, what is your strongest asset, and what do you bring to the table if you're speaking to a GM right now that's looking for a lineman and looking for a reason to take you? What would you say is your strongest asset?
I would say for me right now, as you touched on earlier with Coach Caldwell, like having gone through the system that we've been in and the way I grew up, which I was, even though I didn't start playing football till high school, I watched football my whole life, and I've really studied it before I started playing because I was in a fan. And like the new era, I was a big game kid. So just my ability to be versatile and play all the different offensive line positions, where in Clemson last year I ended up playing 4 out of 5. And not only that, but being able to pick up on a playbook, but not only for what I have to do, but since I can play other positions, it'd be not only I know what I'm doing, but I know what the person next to me is doing, which ultimately helps me get my job done better because I know what they expect. I know if he takes on, I got the next man coming. Or I can be hard on the left because I know he has my right side. He's coming with me on his own block. So simple stuff like that, just being able to pick up the system and work within it.
So you would say that your best aspect would be the knowledge of the game, and your strength would be your smarts, your football IQ. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So out of all those positions, my next question would be, which one is your best position?
Definitely inside in the guard position. I feel like I'm a natural guard, and I would be basically a swinger at tackle, but ultimately I'm a natural guard.
Okay. Can you play center?
Well, I have footage of me playing tackle. I basically ended up playing from game three on to the end of the season, I ended up playing right tackle, and I had two games where I played left tackle. So I have tape of me playing it, and I feel like I can work to get better on the aspects of being able to play tackle, especially now I've been able to cut weight and improve my footwork and whatnot.
Okay. And so what does this mean to you? If you look out and you have a slot receiver and you see a safety roll over the top of that slot receiver and a nickel protection, what does that mean to you?
If those safeties bump over, there's probably going to be pressure coming from the side of that slot receiver because both safeties would have rolled over to bump the coverage that way, which will give them basically their nickel sand position a free release to come on a blitz.
So you're looking at a hot read, that nickel guy coming. So when you slide that way, you're going to slide the guard with you, or you're going to communicate that down and slide
with you,
or are you waiting for the quarterback to make the call?
Normally, we'll make those calls if we see it, especially more than likely, you know, that nickel sound will probably give it away with his foot. If you got an inside foot up, he's probably coming. And I'll make a call to slide. This is usually a three-man slide from the center, guard, and tackle. And that pretty much if that guy does come, then the defensive end will go inside, the guard's got him, and the center will get the D-tackle inside. And if they don't bring it, then I still can't get beat around the edge anyway from the defensive end. So it doesn't really hurt anything because we're going to end up setting straight back and not out anyway.
Absolutely. Good job, young man. Good job. Good job, young man. Francis, I hope I didn't take you away from everything. I threw some football terms at him. Wanted to see how he would react. Good job on the coverage and way to read.
I understood everything you said. Ha.
Okay.
Okay. You know what I want to ask? I'm curious. I want to know how is it to play for Dabo Swinney, and I want to know how is it to play across the line from Vic Beasley. So tell me those two things, young man.
I say playing with Coach Swinney is, you know, you got a real man, a guy that's going to take care of you. You know, he's been there. The people know him. He's pretty much right now, like, the face of the program where everyone knows Coach Winnie, and for good reason. Like, he's a good man. He's done nothing. I actually owe him a lot between him and Coach McCorvey because my path to the draft was a little different. I suffered a major injury while I was training, and I ended up having to have back surgery. So I'm kind of – actually, today's the first day I worked out since the surgery. But I was worried because I had such a big procedure. I wasn't sure, like, how I was going to get it done, what would be my future. And I went and talked to them, and they ended up helping me get through what I needed to get through in order to get back on my path to where I want to be in the future. And that was really through the goodness of their hearts between Coach Swinney and Coach McCorvey. So I owe them a lot.
Okay. All right. So now tell me where your draft stock is. And I forgot, I don't think I let you answer the Vic Beasley thing. So do that and tell me where they're projecting you to go or what you're looking at.
As for Vic Beasley, I mean, like I said, I ended up being bumped out to tackle as the season went on, so I actually did have a chance to block him a lot during the season, that practice and whatnot, and he's a different kind of monster, you know. He's just an athletic freak when he's out there on the edge, and you just got to know, like, everything's different when you're seeing him versus you seeing a wide body guy. Like, you're going to set a little faster, you're going to try to make sure you get a good pop on him, try to slow that charge, slow that speed down. But, like, something he's been able to show off over the last few weeks that I guess a lot of people weren't expecting. Like, he's a strong guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just saw him do 35 reps to 225. So, I mean, if you can even come close to hanging with him, you got a good chance of being successful on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, your draft stock, what's your projection right now?
To be honest, I'm not quite sure what it is anymore. Like I said, I was kind of one of those guys that just kind of went to work. I was down in Atlanta with Chip Smith. He was like a really big name in the training program and whatnot, and I was down there getting in work. So, and I never really asked my agent about the draft status. You know, I felt like I was definitely on the board. I talked to my coaches and a couple other scouts and stuff. I definitely felt like I was on board. But then after my back injury, I had a herniated disc, having to have that dug into and cleaned up and shaved down and whatnot. I'm just kind of hanging around. I'm not exactly sure if I'll be drafted or not. I'm still receiving calls from teams, and I'm releasing my medical information. My agent's still getting calls. But right now, I'd be happy just to, as long as I get a chance, that's all I can ask for.
Yeah, Well, let me speak it right now. You will be on an NFL team, and that's
yeah.
all that matters. Just keep doing
yeah.
what you're doing. You will be. So if you
get
drafted
or
go in free agency, go ahead, Coach.
You'll get an opportunity to be on the team because of your versatility as a swing man. There's value in that. The thing I would say to you is learn how to snap the ball.
Yes, sir.
Learn how to snap the ball. I mean, you're a smart kid. I was able to play for 5 years. I study mathematics, so my background is mathematics. And and with mathematics, it's a lot of angles. It's understanding position. And I ask you some of those questions to see if you can understand what a defense does. When you call your slides and that you're understanding the offense, you will be able to put people in the right places as a center. So you want to be able to play all five. If you can play all five, then you have value because a coach brings you in and he can move you up and down that line. So if it comes between me choosing a left tackle that only plays left tackle, that's backing up my guy, and I got a guy that can play all five, I'm going to keep the guy that plays all five.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
So you want to – that's the one thing you're going to want to add. Learn how to snap the ball. Go back to school and get with your center and just take a couple snaps. Learn how to step and snap. Learn how to use that offhand. You know, Damani Dawson taught me how to move my left hand before I ever move my right hand. So before I ever move the ball, I'm already shooting my left hand. So
yes.
You know, you learn those different nuances. You study the game, and you being a student of the game, you being a heady guy, watch those little things. Learn and pick up from other people. Cheat, take, steal. Steal from everybody else. Find a way to do the things that the vets are doing. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Last question. What do your mom and dad think about all of this, sir?
I mean, they've been supportive throughout everything. You know, it's crazy because my dad, he's always been a football guy. He played when he was in the military. And, you know, that's kind of one of our ways to basically bond over it. And I would love, like, to have the opportunity for him to come see me play. You know, he's a disabled vet. He's suffering with MS right now, but he's a fighter. And then my mom, where they met in the military, she never was a football person, and now she can't get enough. I bet you she's all probably watching the show right now. You know, she went from not knowing, she sat outside of my high school football games, didn't even come in, then now she can't get enough of it.
Wow. Awesome. Well, give my regards to your parents. And I said that was the last question, but I want to know about these eyes. You know, when I Google you, there were more questions about your eyes. Come on, what's up, Kaylin?
It was almost kind of like a persona I created just as a football character. I had the full beard with the contacts, you know. I still have them now. And it was just kind of something like people knew me. Like if I was going around Clemson, like pretty much the whole city of Clemson, the area around, they kind of knew me by my contacts. And it was just something for fun, you know, to mix it up. Like I didn't have any like tattoos or anything, but I really enjoyed it. And I know a lot of people out there like really enjoyed it. And people recognize me from it. So it's just something for fun.
Yep, that is your persona for sure. Congratulations to you again for an awesome career, Japanese studies. And I'll let Coach Nee give the last word and say bye to you and keep us posted. And anytime you want to be on to talk about this path, let me know. Coach Nee, go ahead and give your last little bit and say bye to Kaylin for us, and we'll get Coach Andre in here next.
Well, we know we like to let Kaylin know how proud we are of him. Here in our hometown, he always has made us proud. And he went on, and I was fortunate to be in Clemson with him the day that he committed to Clemson, with him and his mom and the rest of the coaching staff and everything. And that was a wonderful opportunity to be there when he did that. We were actually with the story when we were actually walking out the door ready to go home, and he stopped. As soon as we got out the door, he turned around and said, "I'm going back and do this now." And that guy that he always had made great decisions, and the decision he's made has been for a reason. And everything he's done, he's finished his job, and he finished the job better than where it started at when he first got there. Everything that he ever touched was always better. And that's a good testament for that young man. Everything he touches, he does a great job with. And we're proud of him, and we can't wait to support him on the next level.
All right. Go get him, Kalen. Go do your thing, and you will be in the NFL. We're going to say that prayer tonight, and when you get that opportunity, do your best. Coach Martin?
And one more thing, Kalen. Please let Miss Princess Cooper know that Clemson will win at least 2 national championships within the next 3 years.
Oh, Lord. Okay, really?
I don't have the right to make statements like that, so I'm going to let Neek make them.
Well, I hope you win I do want you to win the ACC, but I'm a Gator, born and bred, bleed orange and blue, so if we make the semifinals, I'm okay with that.
Okay with that.
Awesome. Coach Martin, you want to say bye to Kalen for me?
Well, I just want to say, Kalen, keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep being a student of the game. And like I said, take every opportunity. Take every opportunity to get better. I have short memory. You're going to lose some, but learn from those that you lose. Learn from those mistakes that you make. And the next time, you know, you come up, you lace them up, and you do it the same way, and you get it done right. You do those things, man, you're going to be successful. And, you know, I was a free agent. I was a free agent out of Division II school. So don't let anybody tell you what your chances are. It's all about your work ethic, and you'll get it done.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Have a great draft experience and enjoy it. And we'll talk to you soon. Okay, Kayla?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Kalen Davis, offensive lineman for Clemson. We're going to take a break. And, Coach Neek, if you can go ahead and text Andre White. I'm sorry, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. If you can text him and let him know, we're ready for him and get a live report from Chicago. And we'll take a break and come right back. This is my nephew, young man, on Monday nights at 8 p.m. on the Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network Revive Radio, where music meets ministry and ministry meets music. Daquan King.
You are now tuned in to the Revive Radio Show with your host, Daquan King, a.k.a. D. King, a.k.a. Mr. Blood Certified. And we will be in Radio Speakers Live every Monday at 8 p.m. with music and interviews from some of the hottest urban Christian artists of today here on the Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Stay tuned.
So good. Sports Talk Radio. And we'll get Coach Martin in here and Coach Neek in here. Coach Martin, that was pretty good. Thank you for both segments. Great input there. And I love what Glenn Stout's doing, what you're all talking about. And then I really love Kalen and the fact that he just was so intelligent and had great answers. Your thoughts on both segments, sir?
Well, I mean, the recruiting game, there's a need for that. You know, the fact of the matter is, once you're in that playing the recruiting game, you pay that $150, you can get in the sixth grade, and you'll have that information that'll lock you in, that continues to update, continues to tell you the things that you need to do, so we don't get caught in the last minute. So I think that's a wonderful resource for kids and for parents to know before their kid get into high school. The importance of everything that they need. And I can't say enough about the young man, Kalen. IQ on the offensive line, along with work ethic and being able to communicate and work as a unit, is key, is really key. You know, they're five offensive linemen, and there's usually four down linemen. And that fifth or sixth guy can come from anywhere. And you have to be able to communicate as a line to help put in the right protections and the right thing. You know, I remember playing center, and I remember quarterbacks audible and me telling the quarterback, we can't run that. And it got to the point where we had a great relationship. Them knowing that I was on page with them, and they, when I said you can't run it, we can't run into that protection, or we can't run into that coverage. And knowing that game, and knowing what defenses can and can't do, is the reason why I stayed in the league as long as I did. So, you know, there's a lot to be said about a heady offensive lineman and a humble offensive lineman. The fact that he'll fit in and he'll be fine. He'll be fine. So I'm really excited for him. You know, I'm looking for the GOAT, though. I'm looking for the GOAT because I definitely want to hear from him and what's going on in Chicago. I know he's out there having a great time, not only representing himself, but representing players or pros. You know, and we, this is the thing. Kids get a chance to be with players or pros, and they get to stay with them throughout their career. They get to go into the NFL or whatever, even if they don't go into the NFL. But they get to start and brand themselves and come back and give back to their communities and make a difference so they can influence others that are trying to do the things that they're doing. So, you know, this is part of the process.
Part of the process for sure. And he seems to be doing it the right way. We're still waiting to see if we can get Andre in here. We'll wait a couple more minutes to see if we can do that. I wanted to ask you about your Steelers. What are you expecting from them when the NFL draft starts tomorrow night? I know they have their first-round pick. I don't even know where they are in position. But what are you expecting to get for them to address in the NFL draft?
Well, if I'm the Steelers, the first thing I'm going to address is my offensive line. I'm going to address my offensive line. And the reason why I say that is if you got a defense that's going to be young, because that defense is going to be young. You know, you lost Palomala, and we don't know what's going to happen with Harris. And you know, and we got some guys that, you know, we lost a defensive back that's retired. So when you look at the backside of that defense, you've lost a lot. So to me, you shore up what you have. You sure, you give Bell everything that's going to make him play better. You give Roethlisberger everything that's going to make him play better. And so if you shore up the offensive line, early picks, and then you try to address your defensive line and try to, because this draft is strong with outside linebackers that can rush. So there's a lot of tweeners in this draft. You don't have that 270, 280-pound defensive end. You got a lot of 250, 245 guys that can rush and both drop back in coverage. So then I look for them to pick up some of those guys in the later rounds and then see what you can find out there. You know, see if you can – this is when the board and when your scouting department earns their money, because you're going to look for a number of late draft guys that you can put in the secondary – even some free agents at some of the small schools around the country, especially HBCUs are known. And I'm going to tell you, HBCU cornerbacks, they transfer into the NFL, and I'm going to tell you why. Because HBCU play a lot of man coverage, a lot of man coverage. So they had to get out there and look for some of those gems that they can put on the edge that's not afraid to run with those receivers and match up and do that one-on-one. You know, scheme while we're trying to get to the quarterback, because it's gonna have to turn into Blitzburg for us to do and be effective on defense. So I expect them to show up the offense and then go heavy on the defense.
Okay. Well, let's get him in here. The greatest of all time, Andre White, highlight is here. So what's up, highlight?
Hey, I tell you what, let me just step out here real quick. How's everyone doing?
Oh,
man, I'm in the, just stepped out the NFL Players Association dinner, and I tell you what, rubbing elbows with guys like the presidents of the Players Association who just got reelected, had a great conversation with him as I was leaving to talk to you guys. Was the name Gurley came through. We wanted to get a conversation. But I've been actually, you know, promoting Never Had It So Good. That's one thing that they make. Hey, don't be surprised if you see them. Give a shout out. Never Had It So Good.
All right. I'll be looking for it tomorrow night. I'll be looking for it.
Absolutely.
You having a good time?
It's been a great experience. Andrew's he's just taking it all in, of course. Got a chance to just kind of be around some of the guys that obviously he's introduced me to. But, yeah, we're having a ball. We want to get him in. It's kind of wearing out on him right now, so we're going to get him in early, get some rest, because he has a big day. Obviously, tomorrow is one of the most important days for him, and not because of the draft. First thing in the morning, those players are going to the Shriners Hospital and talk to some of those kids. So he's looking forward to that one, and that was one of the reasons why he was like, you got to get me out of here early tonight. Of course, you know, we are our hour behind, so we're actually getting ready to wrap this puppy up and get him in.
Okay. Coach, the last word and projection on Andrew's top 10, top 15? What's the last word out there right now?
Well, you know, being Miss Princess Cooper, who is one of the top radio show hosts, you know you're going to get the inside scoop from me. And leaving his agent about 5 minutes ago, I actually heard him the same thing, and he told me right now, don't be surprised we see him at number 9. So I won't say the team, but whoever is the number 9 pick, he has a real good chance.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Coach Martin, Coach Nick, you guys have the last word.
But I just want him to make sure that while he's sitting there with the NFLPA president, that this is the opportune time not only to talk about the things we do like NYFO and Players and Pro, to engage in those players having a transition out of the NFL. Not only that, but the importance of educating them and building better football players. You know, everybody's not fortunate to be Andrew's Pete, who has a father that was involved, an uncle that was involved, to educate and teach them. You know, his whole family has been around sports and athletics all of his life, so he was able to keep him out of those pitfalls. So, I'm proud of you for being out there to draft. I'm proud of you for what you're doing for NYFO and Players of Pros and the excitement, and we're proud of Andreas, and we're proud of all those young men that are now out there having the opportunity to reach their dreams and goals. So, you know, you represent us well, Coach, and I can't say enough about you.
Well, I appreciate that, Coach. Coming from you, that means so much. You just wouldn't even know. Words can't even express the way, you know, how we are, Coach. On that note right there, I just have to, I'd be remiss if I didn't say it, how Andreas is getting, you know, really admired and loved because of, and first thing I hear is a lot of his own peers say how humble he is, and he's got so many things that's going on, as we already know. Even this week, some of these kids that should be going high picks are getting their true colors of themselves, if you will. And I just wanted to make sure I put that out there, because Andreas is just who he is. He's just a humble kid who, you know, he could have invited anyone to come to their dinner, but I can tell you right now, he has his two uncles and he has his grandmother, and of course, and himself. And we went to this dinner, and it was just a great success for me to be able to rub elbows. And then he just told me again, he said, this is just the beginning. So by him saying stuff like that, I know he and his agency, his company is going to do some great things in the future. So yes, I'm very biased about that, but at the end of the day, I'm so proud of this, how humble this kid is. So look out. And actually, if you get a chance to see us on Thursday night, you might see me at the round table. I'm not asking for it, but hey, they saying something about being at the round table, so you best believe it. If you can read lips, America, you'll be hearing me. And if they get the camera on me, I'll be saying, "Never had it so good."
All right. We're gonna be looking for that. All right.
You bet.
Okay,
and Francis, I want to say another thing. Just because of for what Meek and Coach White are doing for the NYFO, we'll be proud to be on. We will be on the Fox Morning Show in Charlotte, talking of doing a recap of Thursday night of what happened and what we expect to continue on in the draft. So we're excited about that. Bob Winstead and I will be there. So for the Never Had It So Good listening audience, if you want to see us in person, for those people who don't know who I am, tune in to Fox Morning Show. It'll be here at 7 o'clock on Fox and all of those
Fox
in the local Charlotte area.
Yep, Fox 46 Charlotte.
All right, in Charlotte. Wow, okay. All right, I'll be tuning in. I think they live stream it on their website, so I'll be tuning
in. Yes, ma'am.
Okay?
Make sure that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Prince, for everything you do. Thank you so much.
All right, you have a good time, and I'm praying for Chicago. You're going to be okay, but I'm praying for Chicago.
Oh, yeah, the night, they told me to wait till tomorrow night, but the night's all right, but tomorrow night's going to... SOS,
he's gonna be out the hood. I guess he's gonna have the Vaseline out. He's gonna be shaking hands and kissing babies on the line.
You better believe it.
He's gonna be jumping around kissing everybody, but they better be well. Be well.
Yeah, me and you. That's a good one. You better believe it. I gotta represent James Winston since he's not here.
Oh, Lord. All right.
Okay.
Thank you
so much.
All right, guys. Have a good night, and I appreciate all
thank
of you,
ma'am.
You all. We'll see you. See you all. We'll talk again, and I'll definitely be watching Friday morning. You guys have a great week, okay?
All right,
thank
you
so much.
Excellent. Never had it so good. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, guys, that's the end of our show. We want to thank everyone for being a part of Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Make sure to join us right here every evening at 7 p.m., also on Fridays at 5 p.m. We want to thank our sponsors, Michael Snell and GBSClothiers.com, John Robinson Tile, also The Real Rosewood Foundation, Hills Barbershop, and Camardi Law Firm right here in Columbia, South Carolina. A big thank you to the crew, Nation's Number One, Deacon Moses Felder, the Sports Prophet, the Sports Doctor, Dr. Dean Floyd, and of course, Big Country. And I'm Princess Cooper. We'll see you next time.